I'm going to talk about walking with confidence. It was something that I picked up in the gift on the weekend. It was just a little throwaway line about walking with confidence, and I thought, yeah, that's a great follow-up to what we've been talking about. You know, so I talked last time about vision has a use-by date, and if you don't keep remembering what your vision is, it'll just drop off the edge, and you'll suddenly have no idea what it is. And I think all of us would have known people, and maybe Nat experienced it herself by the sound of it, with a hard-charging lifestyle, that if you don't keep reminding yourself what life in the Lord's about, then you fill your head with other things. And we know what that's like. It could be sport. It could be, your life down the beach. It could be driving your car around. But the good news is now that, for those of us that don't have any friends, we can pay Brent a reasonable hourly rate and just drive around. It's like a podcast. You could be driving in cars with Brent.
It's better, I get paid for them to drive me.
Exactly. They call you Miss Daisy. Okay, so walking with confidence, what does that even mean? What is this confidence that we talk? It's out there, Frank, if you need to go to the toilet. Okay. You're already itching to get out of here, right? I'll try and make it short then. Confidence is based on success. Really, if you're good at something and you do it more, you feel good about it, you become confident about it. And then people see that you're confident, teaching people how to drive when you really don't know how to drive. Fake it till you make it. Sometimes that's what's required, that you've got to put on this visage of, I can do this thing. And then eventually, you might get the skills or you may not. But in the Lord, it's actually really simple, because where we get our confidence from is the Bible. It's from prayer. Pastor Philip talking about prayer, that we get an understanding of the scriptures through application and through prayer. These things are revealed to us. If we're not reading the Bible, if we're not praying, then generally there's no revelations. Not always. There's, the Lord can still obviously move as he needs to, but the safe path is, read the Bible and pray. And so straight away, these are two no-cost things that you can do to be more confident in your walk in the Lord. You don't need to get Brent to make you a website. You don't need to pay $19.95 per month. You just got to read your Bible, you got to pray. So the thing about success, though, is it rarely comes straight away. Okay, so not too many of us just start a business and it goes off the rails completely in a good way in the first week. Most of us fail a bunch. I fail all the time. I was talking to Pastor Philip about this, that we, for whatever reason, are not particularly bothered by failure. And I think it's because if you fail enough times, the stigma of failure doesn't matter. You just really, so what? I failed. Thomas Edison, who is credited with over 1,000 patents for his inventions, including the first practical incandescent light bulb and the phonograph, or, record player. He was alleged to have said he's not failed 10,000 times in his trying to create the light bulb. He says he successfully found 10,000 ways that will not work. Now, it sounds a bit flippant, but when you break it down, he's a guy who, when you look into his story and how he operated, he was only actually looking to invent things that would make him money. That was his driver, was not to invent things for the good of humanity. He wanted to make money. And so for him to go at this whole light bulb thing as many times as he did meant that he was thinking very hard about all the different ways to make the light bulb light and stay lit rather than a bright flash and then nothing. So, yeah, he didn't fail. He just tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. And it turns out that's a skill that I have in my job, is that I have the ability to fail over and over and over again until I happen upon the solution. I can think of more ways to fail than most people I know. It's a skill. You've got to practice it. You've got to maintain your match fitness in failure. Because if you're one of these people that is so caught up with the fear of failing, how can you get out of bed? How can you talk to God if you're worried that God might not hear you? How can you try and appropriate a healing promise if you're so afraid that it may not work? you just get paralyzed by the fear of failure. So if you practice failing, if you become really good at it, it doesn't matter. You know, if you trust in God and you don't trust in yourself, it doesn't matter. If you trust that God is going to meet your need in the time that God needs to meet your need, you don't have to worry. It's really simple. It's really simple. So that gives you confidence. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10, we won't turn to it, but it says, you know, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So you start with small things and the things get bigger and bigger until eventually you're this confident Christian and you're able to come into the meetings and you can make it all the way through a talk and you can be operating the gifts, you can be giving your testimony, you can be reading your Bible. You're a confident Christian. Now, why is this important? Well, because life is not always easy. In fact, life is almost never good. Things happen in our lives that are really difficult. They can be emotionally painful. They can be physically painful. And if we don't have a strong base of the Word to fall back on, then we just fall backwards. You know, it's the trust exercise where you have all your friends behind you and yet they just let you hit the floor. That's what happens when you don't understand what the Word is telling us, what the promises of God are. And, you know, if you take nothing away, and most people do take nothing away from my talks, if you take nothing away... Thank you, Frank, for that 7-second delay there. Yeah. You know, so if you think, you know, of you know, do you trust in God? You know, if you fell backwards, would God grab you or would you hit your head on the floor? You know, that's what it is. If you've got a strong understanding of the Word, God will catch you. So Edison, he didn't fail 10,000 times. He just found 10,000 ways that didn't work. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Okay, so confidence comes from knowing the Word. There's just no doubt about it. If you don't understand what it says, you can't know whether you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. It's that simple. Whether it's learning the rules of the road, whether it's you know, at work we're going through a big court case at the moment, and just the stupidity of people and the legal system. And I know Brent can talk at length about the stupidity of the legal system, but seriously. You know, we're putting all this work into trying to understand how we can defend this case, and you know, the lawyers ask us for information, we give it to them, then they come and ask for something else. And you're like, well, what is it you're trying to prove here? It seems like he with the most documents wins the case, or with the most money. So it's not just enough, and we heard this in the gifts tonight. It's not just enough to take the scriptures about the doctrine. That's the milk of the word, absolutely. It's not just enough to cling to those few scriptures. You have to read your Bible from cover to cover. You have to read the Old Testament. You have to read the New Testament, you know. Because the whole plan and purpose of God is from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end of the Bible. And the joy in reading the Bible is understanding, like Brian said last time, that there's this thing early in the Old Testament that links all the way through to the story of Jesus. And as you're reading it, it's just this delight as you see these things just be made clear as God reveals them to you. That gives you confidence in the Word. You're like, wow, I can't believe how connected the whole story is. I can't believe that in the New Testament there's all these threads that, you know, they look like they're going nowhere, but at the end it all makes sense. If you just cling to a few scriptures, okay, you understand what salvation is, and that's great. Don't get me wrong. It's great that you understand how to be saved. It's great that you understand how to stay saved. But there's so much more joy in our experience from reading the Bible and all the people said. It's just, and I've talked about this before, when you first got filled with the Holy Spirit, many of us found that the Bible opened up to us. It was just like this exciting thing. It was just staying up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, not because you couldn't sleep, but because you wanted to stay awake. You know, it was just like, no, there needs to be more hours in the day. I've got to take all of this in. You know, if the Lord's coming back in, you know, 2 weeks from Friday, I want to make sure I've got all this under my belt. That's how it felt. It was exciting. It was just a thrill to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a thrill to have God's word manifest in our lives. It was a thrill for our first healing, you know, to go out door knocking and have our first door shut in our face, you know, to have your first, dare I say, slap down of some person at the door that said some completely stupid thing about the Bible and you smacked them in the head with a scripture. Well, you didn't, you, with peace and love and grace and righteousness, suggested that they were losers as the door was closed and you walked away with the person you were door knocking with, because that's how it works. You know, excitement, and that doesn't go away. You know, God keeps that, he's got that level of excitement for us every single day. But we have to hunt it out. We have to dig deeper. You know, it's not like we go to up to Collie and Griffin Coal. We can't dig the same piece of dirt. You've got to get deeper and deeper and deeper, and that's where the riches are. You've got to keep digging into the Word. So confidence comes from knowing the Word. And it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Okay, so a really obvious reference to the beginning, you know, the very beginning, before the world began. All the pieces were being lined up. All the cards were getting ready to be played in the right order. We're called with a holy calling, and most importantly, not according to our works. There was no way that we could be good enough to do anything to earn the gift that Jesus gave us through his death. We couldn't do it. We couldn't study. We couldn't do penance. We couldn't do works for the poor. We couldn't sell clothes at the local charity shop. There's nothing we could do to earn our way into God's good graces except say, "Here I am, God. Tell me what I've got to do." It's really that simple. So in verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Now again, I see many of you questioning the fact that you've got a sound mind or I've got a sound mind, but God has given us a sound mind. Okay, so when it comes to understanding the scriptures, when it comes to understanding our salvation, he's given us a sound mind. That it's all in there. We've been given the package. It's all been unlocked. We've just got to work our way through it. And not to be afraid of what God has given to us, but rather embrace it because it is the spirit of power and love. Okay, 1 John chapter 5. And just one verse here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Okay, do we believe this verse? "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And all the people said, "He hears us." Was that confident? I don't think that really shaked out as confident. But, you know, this is the confidence. Perhaps we're just quietly confident. We're reserved. We're not, you know, not keen to show off how confident we are. But, you know, this is the confidence. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Do we believe this? Well, yes, because we've had testimonies about how people have waited on the Lord and at the right time, the answer has come through. Praise the Lord. That's why we need to keep having testimonies, because our confidence as people sitting in the seats is built up by the people up here giving their testimonies, that we get this catalogue of things that we can claim, because why is Glenys more important than me when it comes to claiming the promises of God? Well, clearly because Glenys is better than me, but, you know, in terms of the catalogue, you know, I can think, okay, Glenys has been healed of this thing, Nat's been healed of this other thing, you know, Brent learned how to fly, I can do that too, you know, Jody also learned how to fly. Yeah, we've got all these things available to us if we're paying attention to what God's done, you know, so instead of, dare I say, getting your phones out and having a look when people are giving testimonies, you know, really embrace what's going on. Really, because what we learn, and I love that we keep learning this, is it doesn't matter how many times Glenys gives a testimony or I give my testimony or Pastor Phil gives his testimony, there's these just little snippets that come out, things that you, as the person giving the testimony, can't even believe you said. It's like, where did that come from? I don't remember that happening, but then it's all there. Because sound mind, that's why. And they come out, I believe, because there's something to be gained by the fellowship of hearing that thing. And you never know what it is. You know, people come up to you afterwards and say, oh, it was really great that you said that thing. And I've said to Pastor Philip on occasions that, you know, I've given a gift and I'm like, that just makes no sense at all. It just, to me, it makes no sense at all. But the talk might have referenced it, or someone else has talked about it afterwards, or, you know, there becomes a theme in the gifts of this. You're like, wow, God, it's just great. You know, he just works with us. He just wants to enrich us with his glory. We just got to open up and take it. So confidence comes from knowing the word. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, of course, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Okay? Strengthens me. So not only do you need to know the word, but, you know, it builds you up. You know, you literally are stronger as Christians by knowing the word. Okay, next section. Confidence comes from applying the word. Okay, so it's not good enough just to be a textbook Christian. It turns out you actually have to apply it in your lives. So Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen? Amen. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And yet, that's often our go-to position. We trust ourselves, we trust the people we work with, we trust the guy down the street before we trust God. I remember saying in my last talk, God is the smartest person in the room. You know, why don't we go to him first instead of last? He's the smartest person in the room. Where two or three people are gathered, there he is in the midst. So straight to the source. Don't take the long road to get there. Excuse me. So it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 25. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 25. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Okay, in the NIV version it says, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. Okay, now I particularly like this verse because with my feet being as hopeless as they are at the moment, you know, I've noticed that instead of as you normally walk, you walk looking down the street or wherever you are, you don't normally look at your feet because your feet normally take care of themselves. In fact, if you look at your feet when you're walking, you're more likely to stumble than you are if you're just, you know, trusting that your body mechanics know how to, you know, do what they have to do. But I've noticed that because my feet just go off in all directions, I have to actually look down quite often and place my feet where they've got to go, and you stumble. You just do. It's just your body's not designed to work that way. So I love this because that's our walk. If we're so unsure about ourselves, if we're not being able to apply the word in our lives, if we're not making manifest the gifts that are offered to us, then you tend to take baby steps. You know, you're not taking big strides and, you know, you're built up in the ways of God. You're just taking these little steps and you will stumble because you don't have confidence. How do you get the confidence? Well, based on success, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You do the little things. You pray a little bit. You read a little bit. You know, you come to the meetings a lot. You know, because this is where it happens. You get to observe how other saints, other confident saints, are walking their walk. You know, if you do nothing else, you know, at lunchtime on a Sunday, look at other saints. You know, just sit there and observe how they go about, you know, what they're doing. Learn from it because, you know, this, even though we've been saved, many of us, for a lot of years, on any given week, you can be weak. You know, you could be having a tough day spiritually. You could have just had some bad news. You could be worried about a thing. There could be a problem at work. There could be, you know, too many people in your driving school and you know need a third car and a second instructor and, you know, suddenly it's all out of control. It does, you know, that's what happens to us in life. Life happens suddenly. You know, things come, they move on. Other things come and sit on your shoulder for a good while. So sometimes the best thing you can do is come and look at other confident people. You know, see how God's working in their life and apply it to yourself. Okay, so, but most importantly, don't overthink things. This is what happens when you're looking at your feet and you're trying to place them on the footpath and avoid the cracks. You're thinking far too much for something that should just happen. You should be able to walk. But again, as Brent can tell us, that, you know, when you have that taken away, sometimes it's not that easy to bring it back. You know, you can remember that you used to be able to walk, but it's just not happening for you. So, you know, that's, again, our life in the Lord. You can remember that things happen. You can remember that God is great. You can remember that, you know, there's plans and there's promises and, you know, all these things, but you can't quite get the physical part to work. So sometimes you need to have two saints, one on either side, just carrying you over the tough bits until you get your stride again. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay, let us therefore come boldly. So, you know, often you'll see, you know, in the movies or in fact in real life, that if you're approaching someone of importance, whether it's a politician, royalty, your boss, your wife, you know, you tend to cower a bit because, you know, you're in awe of their presence. Isn't that right, Michelle? In awe of their presence. That's not what God wants us to do. I think God is maybe Australian. He wants more, sup, you know, how you doing, mate? Yeah, he wants you just to walk up and shake his hand firmly and say, g'day, God, how's it going? You know, come boldly under the throne of grace. He doesn't want to see all these miserable people before him. He wants to know that we're, you know, just fully appropriated the promises. He wants to be able to go, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. That's what he wants. You know, are we up to that? Are we prepared to step up to that level? Have we got this boldness in us? Hopefully we do. Okay, now, one of the keys as we go to Proverbs chapter 16, one of the most misquoted verses in probably the whole Bible. We've got to be careful that we don't become overconfident, that we don't become arrogant, that we don't become prideful. And it can happen. You know, you do have a few great things happen in your life. You think that you're one of these people that has an awesome understanding of the scriptures. You have special revelations. Not even the pastor understands your special revelations. I've seen these people. We've all seen these people. You know, they come and they're just so caught up in this special revelation, and they can't believe that nobody else understands their special revelation and its specialness, that it becomes a stumbling block to them and they almost always leave. Instead of being able to put aside this thing and get back to where they were, it's just like, seriously, the whole church can't understand me, then God's given me this special thing and, you know, what's going on? So Proverbs 16 and verse 18, pride goes before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. Nothing good comes from being prideful, you know. Destruction's a very strong word. It suggests a complete and utter tearing down of a thing. You know, destruction doesn't leave you much room for, okay, just dusted myself off and kept about my way. You know, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And this is the pattern. You see it in people, again, in just, you know, people outside in the world, as it were, people you might work with, your wife maybe, because you cower before her, I don't know. But destruction, that's what's going to happen. So, you know, humility in the fellowship is so important that we understand that as great as God is, you know, let's just be quietly appreciative of it. Let's just continue to walk on and praise his name. Matthew 26, one of the great stories of misplaced pride, of course involving Peter, who was always keen to do the wrong thing in a hurry. But, of course, he had a great heart. You know, Jesus loved him for his attitude. Matthew 26, verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, Jesus, though all men shall be offended because of ye, that yet will I never, never be offended. And Jesus, after I think he lolled, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Well, we know how that ended, didn't it? it ended poorly because Peter, he went through the process and it was literally the spiritual train wreck. As you know, you had this just self-fulfilling prophecy where he said, "I will not do this thing. There is no way that I won't ever be humble and teachable." And then suddenly he denied Christ three times. You know, this is what happens. You might have the best attitude, but just God wants us to keep it on the, dare I say it, on the down low. He just wants to keep it, you know, we want to be quietly confident, not just in someone's face. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he falls." Sometimes we don't know whether we're standing or falling. Okay, and just to wrap it up, confidence comes from trusting the word. Okay, so we've read about God's promises and we're fully understanding them. We're applying the word. We're not being arrogant or prideful. You know, that if we do something wrong, we can be counseled that we've done something wrong, that, you know, we can take the correction that's given to us when we need to, that we're just happy to be in the Lord. The final part of confidence comes from trusting the word. You know that there's times in your lives when you're going to put a prayer to God and you just got to wait. And it could be years. You might have to wait 10 years, 20 years. You might have to wait until the Lord returns. You may not be healed of the thing that you pray for every Sunday and Wednesday. You may not get the provision of, I don't know, a Rolls Royce or some fancy car. You may just get, what's your car show? A blue car. A purple car. A Viva. You may get a Viva. You know, you may get a Beetle. You know, it turns out, though, it'll get you around and you can be happy going around in this car, because what happened to the car you had before? It didn't work. You know, so is the car that works better than the car that doesn't work? Absolutely. Is the Rolls Royce parked on the side of the road, you know, that can't go anywhere because you can't even afford to fill it up? Is that better? Well, actually, it probably is. It's got a higher resale value, so yeah, we'll edit that bit out. You know, but, you know, the broken, shiny thing is not as good as, you know, the promise that God has got coming to us. So, Psalm chapter 20, verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." He's like our Uber. Okay, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. He is the overcomer. He is the perfect answer to every problem. He is the blessing that we need, that we're still waiting for." Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." And all the people said, okay, that's really what he wants, you know, that we know that the word of God is yea and amen. We know that the Lord will do what needs to be done at the right time. We know that we are impatient. We want everything now. We've always wanted everything now. In fact, we want it faster than now. You know, if God is so good, how come he didn't give it to me before I knew I needed it? Well, because we've got to learn things, you know. If we were the toddler that had all the toys and all the sugar, that doesn't end well for anybody. It just doesn't. It just ends with, you know, well, toddler explosions in a supermarket or something like that. You know, that's who we are if we get too much at one time. You know, it's in our best interest to wait on the Lord. And finally here in James chapter 4. Okay, James chapter 4, verse 10, just one verse. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Amen.